Headline inflation is slowly showing signs of improvement, but core measures and other consumer data closely watched by the Fed are sending mixed signals about where the economy is headed. Charles Schwab, Chief Investment Strategist Liz Ann Saunders, joins me now. Liz Ann, thanks so much for coming on the show. Few people are able to cut through all this stuff as well as you are, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Economic data have been so volatile recently. You like to look at leading indicators to try to cut through all the noise. What is the data telling you now?
So the index of leading economic indicators put up by the Conference Board on a monthly basis peaked about 15 months ago, and it's been almost a steady move down to the tune of almost 8% negative from that 15-month ago period when they peaked. That is deep in recession territory. Perhaps one of the reasons why it hasn't, at least yet, manifested itself in a clear recession is because there's a bias within those indicators toward the goods slash housing side of the economy, plus financial metrics like the market, like the yield curve, doesn't pick up as much as in terms of what's going on in services. We know services has provided that offsetting strength. So there's a bit of a caveat to the leading indicators with that goods versus services comparison.
Yeah, consumers still seem very strong, especially on, you know, hotels and restaurant and flying and all that. That said, do you think that this means recession is inevitable? This week's Barron's cover story is on that delicate balance. You think we're going to tip?
Well, we've been calling this a rolling recession because you've already had segments of the economy unquestionably in recession territory. Housing, a lot of housing related, many goods oriented segments of the economy, particularly consumer goods, certain areas within tech, essentially representing the stay-at-home beneficiaries. We've just had the more recent offsetting strength, and you pointed out consumption bias towards services, but across the board of consumer spending, keep in mind that in the first quarter, where for the quarter, the consumption number looked pretty good, there was deceleration throughout the quarter, with January given a lift because of much warmer weather than usual. So that's really key, given the deceleration as we start looking at second quarter data.
So if Jerome Powell were to call into this right now and ask you what he should do, would you say after Wednesday they should stop and pause for a while?
I'm not sure they should even hike on Wednesday, but I'm not sure. First of all, he's not going to call me. I check my voicemail. I don't have one from him. But I think given some of the turmoil still in the banking system and the uncertainty, not to mention the fact that they're still keying off the inherently lagging indicator that is inflation, knowing that the effects of monetary policy are in the future. But given market expectations of the Fed doing another 25, best guess is that's what they're going to do. The question is, does he more forcefully hint that that was it, or does he stay data dependent? Does he continue to emphasize that? And that's where we'll pick up in the press conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the fact that the market's climb has been mostly on the back of a very few very large tech stocks. You've written about the potential dangers of the market relying on a very few generals, as you call them. Will the soldiers pick that up? What do you see as the next leg of this?
So far, we're not really seeing that. What's also interesting is not just the bias to the very, very large cap names, and they're not all tech. They're techy communication services, but the fact that leadership outside of those mega cap names has actually been a bit more biased in defensive areas like consumer staples, like healthcare. So it's kind of a mixed message. There's a lot of money going into the perceived safety of those big cap names, but the leadership under the surface, I think, still reflects that economic uncertainty, hence the bias more recently toward defensive. So it's a mixed bag. It's a tough one for investors, no question about it.
So what is the best move? What's the best playbook for investors under those tough conditions?
We've been emphasizing factor-based investing as opposed to the monolithic sector type calls. And factors is really just another word for characteristics. So screen for characteristics. And I'd say the wrapper around the factors that we've been focusing on is quality. So when you think about the macro environment, you want to look for companies that have strong free cash flow, that have a strong balance sheet, meaning high cash, low debt, they're self-funding, they don't have to come to the banking system or the credit markets, lower volatility as opposed to higher beta. So again, it's kind of a mix of some growth factors, some value factors, but the real probably appropriate moniker is stay focused on up in quality. This is not the time to go down in quality.
Yeah, that certainly has been working. Lizanne Saunders, thank you so much.
My pleasure.